The scripture Ryan was using from 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." I reminded a number of years ago, I was told that this verse was placed on a nursery door in a church. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." I thought that was real fitting. And we got so many babies coming. it's growth that God has given to us, and it's an awesome thing to see and to watch and to share. Yes. Today I want to talk to you about Mary's song. If you came this morning and received a hard copy of the notes, that's available to you. Also, on your devices, you can go online to our website, and it's posted there as well. So, Father God, I just come before you this morning, and I just thank you for this honor to stand before your people, and to share this message, Mary's song. Father God, my heart goes with the words of Mary right now. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly statue, the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. Father God, I pray that whatever it is, whatever part of this message you want us to get a hold of, maybe for the first time this morning, or a refreshment in our soul and spirit, man, let it be real to us right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Notice the first thing that Mary says in that verse, Luke 1:47. My soul. What's your soul? That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. My soul magnifies the Lord. The word magnify means to declare the greatness of God. My soul declares the greatness of God. Soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So by the act of your will, by the act of your will, you join with Mary in choosing to express who Jesus is for you. And you become excited about it. Fact is, recently, it was connected around Thanksgiving, I did another study on the word thanksgiving and praise. The word thanksgiving and praise in Scripture, particularly the word praise, one of the words means to jump. Another word means to spin around, to dance before the Lord. That's praise. Another word is to shout. So, I mean, why is it? Why is it that we find it so difficult? And I know part of what it is. It's that religious spirit that wants to get a hold of us, that holds us back and holds us down and away from the joy of the Lord. But what Mary is talking about here is that her soul was rejoicing. Her emotions were involved. She was ecstatic about the intimate relationship that she was sharing with her Savior. Her Lord. Notice what she says. My spirit, my soul, her spirit was rejoicing in God, my Savior. Mary needed a Savior just as much as we do. Yeah. There's nothing deity about Mary. For he has regarded the lowly state of this man, of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations, all generations will call me blessed. Incidentally, if you can truly join Mary in this song, all generations from you going forward will call you blessed as well. Think about it. All right, first of all, the impact of the prophetic word. The impact of the prophetic word. What I just said was part of what is established there in God's word. Point A in your outline. By design, By design, God has recorded for us the exact words spoken by many in Scripture. These words by Mary are unparalleled. These words by Mary are unparalleled. In our intimacy with God, words are spoken that set the course of history forever. I want you to get that. The words that come out of our mouth, that come from our spirit man, through our soul and emotions, our mind, our will, all of that together with our intimate relationship with God literally changes the course of history. Our words. Mary's words changed the course of history, not just for herself, but for us. Think about that for a minute. The very words that come out of our mouth on a daily basis can shake, can change, can mold the whole historical pattern of our lives. Amen. For eternity. For eternity. Yeah, I'll say more of that in a little bit. So let's look at Gabriel's words to Mary from Luke chapter 1. How that changed Mary's life forever. Notice what it says. Luke chapter 1, picking it up with verse 28. This is Gabriel coming before Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her. Notice the word said. Said. What the angel said was going to shape history. He said to her, rejoice. That's part of that praise. Jumping, shouting, dancing. Yeah. Twirling, spinning before the Lord. Declaring his greatness. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. You know, God is saying to you right now, personally, right now, this morning, each one of you, he is saying to you, rejoice, highly favored one. Are you favored? Yes. You are favored just as much as Mary was favored in this situation. Different circumstance. Different situation, different life effects, different manifestations, but you are just as favored as Mary is. Say that with me. I am just as favored as Mary was. I am just as favored as Jesus is. Do you realize that God put his favor upon his son, the Lord Jesus? He created Jesus in the womb of Mary and put all that favor, the favor of the eternal, perfect, holy God, on Mary, in Mary, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. The favor of God was upon her and him, and the favor of God because of our faith in Jesus is just as real for us as it is and it was as it was upon Mary. So the Gabriel's words to Mary are in reality, by way of application, are just as real to us. Verse 28. The second part of verse 28, you are blessed among women, verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled. Now, who wouldn't be? If you've ever had a confrontation with an angel, and I haven't had a personal confrontation with an angel, in this form at least, but I can imagine how troubled, how terrifying, how fearful that situation might be. And considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said, notice the second time something is spoken in Scripture, written in Scripture, that records what is being said. He said to her, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Hundreds of times in Scripture, God is declaring, do not be afraid. Right now, I speak into Megan. And I say, do not be afraid, Megan. The delivery that you are about to give to this little baby is going to come forth in perfectness as God has created perfectness to be. Yes. Do not be afraid. I just want to stop. Do you realize how significant that is right now that we as a church are declaring that? Because if we weren't declaring it, it wouldn't be said. And if it's not said, then God is not obligated, other than what has already been said before, to fulfill what he's promised. But because we say something, something changes in the kingdom of God. Get that. Every time you say something as it relates to the promise of God, something changes in the kingdom of God. Yeah. So the angel said to her, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw it, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. I'm going to read down through verse 33. Then the angel said to her, I just said that, and we say it again, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Mary. Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said, now get what Mary said. First of all, we had Gabriel said, now Mary says to the angel, how can this be? Who wouldn't say that? "Since I do not know a man," I've never had an intimate personal sexual relationship with a man ever. I'm a virgin. And the angel said, answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest, will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son. Now what's interesting here is that we're going to go back and I'm going to talk to you a little bit later about Zacharias. Because Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, had a problem with fear. And he didn't deal with it so well. So Mary's response, Mary said, and what she said, was very, very, very important. It's no different for us. I have that in your notes. It is no different for us. God speaks, we hear, we believe, it is done. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Let's turn to that passage of Scripture. I'm going to talk about the promises of God. Let me ask you a question. Are the promises of God to Mary any different than the promises of God to us? Are they any less fulfilling or less fulfilled than the promises of God to Mary? No. The promises of God to us are just as significant and as important to us personally in our sphere of influence and in this time of history in our lives on planet Earth. They are just as significant to us as they were as they would be to Mary. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 20, this is what it says. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through foolishness and the message preached, the message of Jesus. For the Jews requested a sign, the Greeks wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called forth, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because of the foolishness of God, is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Yes. And so what is the promise that God has given to you? All of the promises of God have been given to us so that what we could know and what we could understand are perfect. This was 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, once those established promises are made, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in Him, in Jesus, are yes and amen to the glory of God. Who? Through us. How are the promises of God being made manifest? Mary could have said, God, your promise is being made real through me. And we can say, God, your promises are being made through us to testify to one another. Why is it that God testifies of his love, his mercy, and his grace through us? It is so that our sphere of influence can know and understand the supernatural work of God, so that the promises of God can be made manifest through us to the glory of God. Does that make sense? Yeah. With Mary, there was no immediate evidence that she was pregnant. With Mary, there was no immediate evidence that she was pregnant. In the process of time, it was revealed. Time with God at times seems non-existent. In fact, God is beyond time. And so many times when we say, God, when is this going to happen? And most of the time, God just says to me, on my timetable, and then he reminds me, but I don't have time. So just chill. I'll take care of it. Do you realize that most of the promises of God for you will not be fulfilled in your life now on earth? Most of the promises of God for you, for me, for us, will not be fulfilled on earth. They will be fulfilled as a result of our obedience and faithfulness and submitting to him in this life. And when we step into that which we call eternity, then the fulfillment of all the promises of God are made real for us in that time. Fact is, I think it was about a year ago I mentioned to you that I believe that Pagosa Springs is going to be one of the worship centers in the kingdom when Jesus is ruling and reigning on the earth. One of the worship, and one of the places, one of the buildings where that worship is going to be taking place is right here. Right here. And we, because of our work now in worshiping God, will be honored to come back. And at the speed of thought, we'll say, let's go to Pagosa and worship. And we will fulfill the promises of God for that time and for that generation that's alive on planet Earth when Jesus is ruling and reigning. I just sense that in my spirit. That's part of the vision that God has given to me over and over and over again about Pagosa Springs. So what's the principle? The principle is just because there was not a complete manifestation of God's promise that he has given to you does not mean that it no longer stands. Eternal life begins at the conception of your faith, believing and trusting. God works it out of you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, something began in you that now God is working out of you. And if he can't get it out of you, then those around you cannot be affected for the kingdom. So what God has worked in you, his salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, is now being worked out of you so everything and everyone around you can be affected. The promise of God to work eternal life in you gets worked out of you. Why? So those around you can be blessed. Seldom is any promise of God for your own benefit alone. Seldom is a promise of... Was the promise of God to Mary for her benefit alone? No. Absolutely not. Is the promise of God the promises of God for you alone? No. No different. It's not for you. Sorry. It's not about you. Yeah. It's not about me. So that was Mary's response. What was the impact of receiving the prophetic word? Verse 138, chapter 1 of Luke, verse 38. I'm going to have to hustle here. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. What was Mary's response? Let me back up and let's pick it up at verse 37. This is what the angel says to Mary after she responds. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And it doesn't say it there, but what I'm sensing when I put myself into Mary's shoes, when Mary hears that, there's silence. God says to Mary, through Gabriel the angel, with God, nothing will be impossible. Silence. She thinks about it. And then she said, the most important words that could have ever come out of Mary's mouth. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Okay, so what's the impact of Mary's statement? Number one, Mary's spoken word declared her faith. Mary's spoken word declared her faith. For the angel said, with God, nothing is impossible. And she said, I agree. I accept. I receive. I believe. Number two, Mary's spoken word opened her womb. I am convinced that when Mary said, be it unto me as you have said, instantly, in that millisecond, she was impregnated with the Son of God. Why? Because her words expressed her faith. Her words expressed her faith. Instantly pregnant. And I also said in your notes, without her words, she would not have conceived. If she would have fudged on that and said, I'm just not sure, wouldn't happen. But because she said in full faith, I believe, it happened. Instantaneous. Now, by way of application, I want to make this real for us spiritually. Turn with me to Romans 10. And I hope you get this, because this is no less significant. In Romans 10, Paul is talking about calling upon the name of the Lord and the significance of that. And in verse 9, it says, Romans 10, 9, if you confess with your mouth, just like Mary, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Sozo. You will be granted eternal life. You will be healed and delivered. That's the word sozo. If you believe and confess with your mouth, if you believe and confess with your mouth, if you believe and confess with your mouth, say it with me. If I believe and confess with my mouth. If I believe and confess with my mouth. So what are we doing this morning? We are believing. What is believe? What does the word believe mean? The word believe simply means every word that God has spoken that comes out of his nature and character and personality. Every word I'm hanging on to you and they are being life to me. That's what believe means. Be life to me. And so when I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, I am saying, Jesus, be life to me. Jesus, be life to me. Just like Mary did. God, be life to me. Put life in me. And so technically speaking, when you speak those words and you declare your faith in Jesus Christ, what happens is that you become impregnated with Jesus. Oh, does that sound familiar? Jesus comes in. He dwells within you. He is just as much in you as he was in Mary when she was pregnant with him. Only in a different form. Different manifestation. Isn't that awesome? I mean, could you get excited about this? Could you rejoice and give praise and glory unto God? Because When you speak and declare who Jesus is in your life, you are impregnating yourself with the very Son of God. Yeah. Yeah. I could jump and dance and turn and twist and get excited about this. My goodness. This is awesome. What's the impact of this revelation for us? I've already spoken some of it. Be ready to receive God's revelation that is real to you personally. And speak the word. Let it be according to your word. Okay. I'm going to put a few people on the spot here. Clint, what's a promise that God has given to you that is still, you're still waiting upon?
I'm going to step foot on many nations.
Clint says, God has shown him, I'm going to step foot on many nations. God has spoken. As God spoke that to you, Clint, is that any less real than what God spoke to Mary? No. It's just as real. And so say this with me. Be it unto me as you have said. Be it unto me. As you have said. You see what we could do, ladies and gentlemen? We could go to each one, each person in this room. God has given you a revelation about something, about someone, about an activity, a ministry, something. He has given to you a revelation. And now what I want you to do is identify with Mary in that revelation and just say, be it unto me as you have said. So let's say it together. Be it unto me as you have said. Be it unto me as you have said. Be it unto me as you have said. I'll guarantee you, if you say that every day as you remind God, and incidentally, it's your responsibility to remind God of his promises to you. It is your responsibility to remind God of his promises to you. And it is your responsibility to remind yourself that only God can make it unto you as he has said. Yeah. This is phenomenal. This is why, for Sharon and I at least, this is some of the most exciting time of our lives, because we are seeing unfold, come to completion, that which God has promised to us in the past over and over and over again. And we said, be it unto us as you have said. And now God's bringing it to fulfillment in our lifetime. And more is to come. And yet I know for many of us, including myself, many of the promises of God will not be fulfilled in this lifetime. But when I step into his presence in that kingdom, all of a sudden, my eyes will be opened to all of his promises being made complete. Yeah. Second, the revelation of God is intended to change your life forever. It is a life calling. It will change your vocational responsibility, the view of your vocational responsibility. It will change your relationships. It will change your purpose of life. If we had time, I'd turn to 1 Peter. I won't take that time, but it talks about the divine nature of God being impregnated in you. And when that divine nature of God is impregnated in you, then everything changes. Everything changes. Number three, the manifestation of God's time takes time to be made complete. Instant conception does not mean instant manifestation. For Mary, it was 9 months. For you, it might be 9 years. Could be 90 years. It could be longer. But just think for a moment. The change that took place in Mary's life when she said, be it unto me as you have said. Her family rejected her. Fact is, her community in Nazareth said, is not this the son? The illegitimate son of that woman? Can you imagine the stigma that she had to live with as a young girl, young lady, somewhere between 13 and 20? Huge. It's huge. And so what I'm saying to you, for you to say, be it unto me as you said, don't expect flowers and daisies. Or you might be pushing daisies before it really happens. See what I'm saying? There's a cost to this. There's a huge price to this. But if you're willing to drink that cup with Jesus, you can say with Mary, "Be it unto me as you have said." It will be worth it all. Yeah. For he alone is worthy. Yeah. Last but not least, the prophetic worship began to flow. Before I go into that, I told you I was going to mention about Zacharias. So if we go back to Luke chapter 1, Zacharias did not respond the same way. When the angel came to Zacharias, he was very much afraid, and he refused to believe. How do we know he refused to believe? Because the angel said so. Verse 19, and the angel answered and said, notice said again what he spoke, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, who was sent to speak to you and bring you glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things have taken place, because you did not believe my words." You see how significant it is to believe the words that God has spoken? If we don't believe the words that God has spoken, there's a negative consequence that happens that we may suffer in and with and for all of our lives. So never say when God speaks to you, "I can't believe it. I won't believe it." You will suffer negative consequences. Now, there's worse things to suffer than not being able to talk for 9 months. Now, some of you ladies would wish your husbands had that gift of not being able to talk for 9 months. But anyway, that's another subject. Okay, what's my point? My point is simply this. With Zacharias, he refused to believe. He refused to say, "Let these words be life to me." Zacharias said, "I refuse to let these words be life to me." And he got exactly what he said or didn't say. Okay, for us, what's the prophetic thing that happens when we listen to and we speak and declare the words of the Lord? That's when our soul begins to magnify. And that's the context of Mary's song. "My soul magnifies, declares the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me." Listen, guys and gals, every single day the very first thing that should come out of our mouth when we awaken, "God, you have done mighty things for me, great and mighty things. Holy is your name. Your mercy is on those who fear him. And I fear you, God. I trust in you. I have awesome respect of you. And I pass it on from generation to generation. For you have shown strength with your arm. For you have scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. For you have put down the mighty and their mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. For you have filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her, that is, with Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to her house. Okay. What was Mary doing? Worshiping. What is to be the natural, first, and lifelong event of our experience in this world? What is to be that lifelong process? Worship. From the moment I recognize I'm impregnated with Jesus and I fear God because of him, that very moment, I began worship. I said, God, all that I am and all that I have is not mine. It's yours. I give it to you. For God, you have honored our humility, and you will reward it from one generation to the next, and to the next, and to the next, and to the next. Be it unto us as you have said, God. I trust this has been helpful for you again. Never underestimate the promises of God. Never underestimate the promises of God. If Mary would have underestimated the promise of God to her, she would have never been pregnant. But when she received that promise, something happened that gave us an opportunity to be connected with God in a way that only comes by faith in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I want you to just, Mark, I want you to come. And as we are listening to this music, and we think about the words of Mary and the impact of these words upon us today, the impact of our words upon us today and people around us. As you think about all that, consider the promises of God to you that you may be doubting right now. And refuse to partner with the spirit of doubt and unbelief. And just commit your way to the Lord. And say again and again and again and again and again, be it unto me as you have said, whether it be in this life or through eternity, or both. Whether it be in this life or through eternity or both, be it unto me as you have said.